This morning in our service, I mentioned to you about that little Sunday school chorus that says, "With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm." Well, that line is actually taken from a hymn that John Newton wrote in 1720-ish, 1730-40 time. And the hymn we're going to sing tonight is where that line is taken from, number 498. "Begone unbelief, my Savior is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and He will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm." And of course, we were thinking today in our morning message about the apostle and about that, well, adventurous voyage that he was on, and yet how, in the midst of it all, he had great confidence that he was going to be brought to his destination in one piece. And God fulfilled that, and He brought him safely through. And you know, believer, you and I can be confident tonight that no matter what happens, as long as the Lord is with us in our life, if He's in the vessel with us in our ship, then it doesn't matter how bad the storms will become, because the Lord will never depart from that. He is the captain. He's at the helm. And therefore, we can trust that and trust in Him tonight. And so let's be confident that we'll stand to sing this hymn. Let's pray. Our loving and gracious Father, we come into your holy presence tonight in the precious name of our Lord, of our Savior, of your only begotten Son, of our King, our Master, the Shepherd of our souls. And Lord, as we have commenced our service with this hymn of praise by Newton, Lord, it is almost like a theological course. And I'm thankful for the servants that you have raised up to give to the church hymns of the faith. Help us therefore, Lord, to take these gospel themes, these precious truths that are reinforced to our minds through the Scripture, through these songs, and help us to see that with the Savior with us every step of the way, we have nothing to fear. And when trouble comes, we have been promised, Lord, no less. For all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Dear God, help us therefore not to become weak or cold-hearted. Help us not to give in to the temptations or discouragements of the devil. But always, Lord, may our eyes be focused by faith upon our living Redeemer. For our Savior is seated at the right hand, the Majesty on high. And, O God, we know that He is ever living to pray for His people. Dear God, tonight, I ask that we would be very mindful of these great truths, and we would not be set aside in our day-to-day walk. Some, Lord, of our people, even here, have a very heavy burden to carry. Some have day-to-day very serious health matters. And, O God, in the time of their trial, I'm praying that you would come very near, Lord, to help them. I pray that they would know your touch upon their bodies, that you would know, that they would know being raised up, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit and given grace upon grace. And Lord, as we pray for healing for them, if it is not your specific time or not your specific purpose, then, Lord, an abundant supply of grace would be poured into their lives. Glad our brother Ron's here tonight. Lord, help him. Thankful that Serene here this morning and again tonight. Lord, bless her, help her, touch her body. Thankful our sister Joan was out this morning. And Lord, give her great joy and peace and help. And Father, we have been brought together in a congregation, a fellowship of people. And Lord, you've told us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is our heart, Lord. We want to do that in a very real, practical way. Because, Lord, we have been told to visit the sick and the fatherless, to visit them in person, to visit them with our phone calls, to visit them with texts and emails, to visit them by prayer. And so, Lord, we do that and we want to do that. And we pray that our great physician will come very near to each one in need. And Lord, not only are we thinking about the physical problems which so often spill over into touching the spirit, But Lord, we are asking for many who carry heavy spiritual burdens as well. And oh God, as they bear those daily at the throne of grace, come near and touch, Lord. Pour out your grace upon each one of us, for we all have our own private individual issues and concerns and weights. Ah, Lord, how thankful we are, though we can cast every burden upon the Lord, for Thou hast commanded us to do it, and we will be sustained. We couldn't ask for anything more, Lord. This is a great blessing, a tremendous benefit. And so, Father, tonight, hear our prayers. Take and receive our praise, our thanksgiving. Blessed Savior, we know that You are with us here tonight. We are the twos and threes gathered in Your holy name. And that promise still stands. And blessed Savior, we know it stands until this world is finished. We will all be then in glory together. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. Many of our brothers and sisters, loved ones, have gone on to their long reward. And who knows what chairs, what seats will be emptied in the next year. But oh, Father, we are thankful. We have a great hope in front of us, that which the devil cannot take away. And I pray that we might live each day in the blessing of that everlasting hope, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be gloriously present with our Lord and King. Dear God, bless this fellowship, this ministry, our work. Bless us in every area of outreach. Bless the pulpit from this congregation. And as the word goes out ever, Lord, may it go out faithfully and clearly. Do not let any compromise of Your holy word come forward from this place, from this pulpit. Dear Father, bless every testimony, every witness, every form of reaching out by way of outreach from our congregation. Bless it, Lord. Bless all our missionaries. For though we do not go to specific fields, if we are able, Father, by Your benefit and blessing on our lives to be able to give our offerings, our tithes, they go out into the mission field to support those who are there. We pray a mighty blessing upon all those who have given themselves and have left their homes and families to serve. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Be with the Schultz family tonight. Touch them, Lord, in their physical need at this moment. Bless that work. Be with others we know of and those we don't know of specifically that need a touch from Your hand. Remember the persecuted believers, whoever they might be, Lord, we don't know them by name, maybe. We're asking for Your hand of protection and blessing to be upon each one of them. So hear us now tonight. Remember our nation. Remember our leaders. Lord, overrule in their minds. Keep them from foolish and wicked behavior. Keep them from policies that will be made against the Church of Christ. And Lord, we are praying that the devil's hand will be withered so that he will not be able to stretch out his hand against Your people. Bless us, Lord, we pray. And not just our own fellowship, but every faithful lip, every faithful pastor that's proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, bless them, we ask. And may there be a great ingathering of souls. We're praying that for our own fellowship. We want to see people saved, Father. We want to see Your elect brought in. make use of us, we pray. Make us personal soul winners for Jesus. Hear our prayers tonight. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 679, God is here, and that to bless us. We'll stand again as we sing. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May God be pleased to bless his word to your hearts tonight. We welcome you all in person and online. And our prayer is, as always, that you would know the blessing of the Lord as we gather for worship, and as the scriptures are open, may it be an encouragement to your heart. Let's please continue to remember in prayer all of the ones who have specific need that we've been reminding you of, and we hold them earnestly before the Lord in prayer. If you would like to have a hymnal for your own personal use, they are at the table at the back in the foyer, and please feel free to take one and write your name on it, and it will be your copy if you would like to bring it to the house of God to use here. You'll also notice in the foyer there is our Christmas card that has been posted there, and as we sometimes donate our special Christmas card appeal to our missionaries, most times we do that. The board was asking for our people to think specifically about some necessary home use renovation purposes, and so we want to direct our special offerings to be of use in the home church renovation area. So please mark your envelope with that special offering and sign the card at sometime you have today or in the next couple of weeks. In the new year, we are planning in the will of the Lord our week of prayer, the last full week of January. And in the middle of that week on Wednesday night, we hope to have a baptismal service. If the Lord has been speaking to your heart regarding that, then we would encourage you to speak to me, and we will make those arrangements on that Wednesday evening of the middle of the week of prayer. We had a prayer time this afternoon for our session and board at 4:50 for just about an hour. And we want to remember the need specifically in our congregation. That's the purpose of these monthly meetings, seeking God for his blessing on the work and for the future of the ministry here. And so please join with us in your specific praying to that end. Wednesday evening, our Bible study and prayer time will continue, and if you would like to partake in the quiz, the short quiz, we'll be looking at Acts 26. Next Lord's Day, our services will continue at the regular time, and after the Connect Fellowship tonight, actually, we'll be meeting downstairs for a time of fellowship, and so anyone who's a part of that fellowship, or if you haven't come yet, you'd like to be, you're very welcome to stay behind afterward for a little time of singing and a time of fellowship. Our special time of prayer on December the 12th for our churches across Canada. It's slated for 4 p.m. for an hour and a half on Zoom only. And so please keep that note aside in your own minds. We want to really be bringing the needs of all of the works that we have and then all of the need for prayer for Canada, for a reviving of His Spirit and a blessing upon all faithful ministries in our nation. That's on December the 12th. Those are all the ministry announcements we have for you this time. We're going to sing to the Lord's praise again, number 668, remaining seated while we sing. We sing that first verse again, and let's stand as we do that. Turn, please, to Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Father, we come now at the final moments of this service, and our prayer is that the Scriptures would be unfolded in our minds. We would receive the truth in our hearts, and that, Lord, we would be strengthened with might in the inner man, that Christ Jesus would be glorified through us, that, Lord, as we often ask and pray, extend your kingdom through us. Make use of each one as simple and as so often, Lord, we think useless that we are. Make use of us, I pray. Dear God, that we would glorify thy holy name, that we, dear Father, would be vessels of honor, sanctified and ready for the Master's use. Lord, we are all different. We all have been given different talents. We've all been called to different parts and aspects of service. And I pray that we will each one fulfill that to the glory your holy and precious name. Hear our prayer tonight. Give strength in the ministry of the word. Help me, Lord, as your servant, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that there will be handfuls in purpose, blessing upon blessing. Lord, encourage every heart tonight. Hear our prayers now, for we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want us to think tonight from verse 4 of this psalm, primarily the first phrase. For the Lord, Jehovah, taketh pleasure in his people. God takes pleasure in us. Have you ever considered deeply what it is that brings happiness to God? What is it that pleases him? Well, in one sense, the unchangeable nature of God means that he cannot be sad or melancholy. Within himself, there never is a need for the Lord to be cheered up, as you and I often need to be cheered up. God is eternally satisfied in his own being. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." There's great blessing in that verse, you know. Because if the Lord was to change, if his nature was fickle, then man in his sin would be consumed in a moment and taken away. And Israel, Jacob, that had received so much blessing and benefit, would not have made it. They would have been consumed. The Holy Trinity, content within themselves, Father, Son, and Spirit. The hymn writer put it this way: "My love is oft times low, my joy still ebbs and flows, but peace with him remains the same, no change Jehovah knows." So what is it that gives God pleasure? We're told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The Lord takes pleasure in his creation. He took pleasure in all that he had made, and it was very good in his eyesight. He looked upon those things and was content with the work of his own hands. From the very smallest of creations and creatures that you and I will take blessing in, we would focus more on those things that are cute, those things that we might think are attractive to us. Those things that are not so attractive, we might turn away from them. But the Lord takes pleasure in all of his creation. But then we are faced with the words of Psalm 149 and verse 4. And do we not sit back and take notice, and maybe with some degree, some element of surprise, some element of shock? How is it that the Lord could take pleasure in his people? We have been studying through the book of Hosea, and we've been confronted there with the rebellion, rejection of God's people, how that he poured out so much grace toward them, and yet they, like the unfaithful wife of Hosea, went away, committed adultery, unfaithful, and yet God still, as he commanded Hosea, "Go after Gomer, retrieve her back to yourself again, even though she's been adulterous." And the Lord was sending forth a great message to his people: "I will allure you back to myself. I will draw you with cords of love." For God tells us he is married to the backsliding people. And that means, friends, you and me tonight. For we are and have been those backsliding people. We are and have been those ones who have forsaken the Lord. Not once, not twice, but by a thousand falls. And yet the Lord has extended His love toward us. And when we look into our own hearts, is it not then we would come with such amazement to a verse like this? How could it be? How possibly could it be that the Lord takes pleasure in you, believer? How could He take pleasure in this sinner? But there we have it. The Word of the Lord before us tonight. A statement when we look at our own ways and how we have so often failed to live up to the very basic standard that the Lord would call us to do. Is it not so much more impressed on us when we read how Jesus said of a servant, when they have done all that is required of them, you are yet unprofitable? Yes, that's the way it is. Yet there is a message here for us that I believe will bring great comfort to your heart, great comfort to our oftentimes weak hearts, faltering, that the God of heaven, He takes pleasure in us. I wonder tonight, friend, does He take pleasure in you? Are you sure that you're a child of the King? Are you certain it is right with you in your heart before the Lord? Again, I apply the truth of this to those who are online because I can't see you. You can see me. I don't know who is there. I don't know from what walk of life you have come. I know most of the people who are here in person in the congregation now. But it might be by some strange providence you have tuned into this meeting tonight. For what reason, you don't know. But the Lord knows. And He has a word for you tonight. Friend, are you in Christ? Are you saved by His grace? It doesn't matter how orthodox you are, where you've come from. Maybe you've been brought up in a church that teaches all kinds of sound doctrine. But tonight, the Lord's Spirit is speaking to your heart. And there's a matter you have to get settled. You need to be sure that you are in Christ tonight. So the word goes out to you, my dear friend. In what ways, we would ask this question, in what ways could we say that God is pleased with His people? Well, I suggest to you in the very first place tonight that God is pleased in our salvation from sin. God is pleased in our salvation from sin. Isn't that what the whole message of redemption is all about? Isn't that the golden thread that we talk about that runs from Genesis to Revelation? Is that not the whole eternal purpose of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, leaving the glory of heaven, coming down to a sin-cursed earth? Why? That He might die to redeem us, to bring us to Himself. The whole plan of God's salvation being seen and worked out in time, in the fullness of time, it is so that we might come to trust in the Lord and have our sins washed away and come to embrace the One who has died for us. And so God is pleased, my friends, tonight that we are saved. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath accepted us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And if you read on through chapter 1, as you know it well, it repeats that phrase over and over again, according to the good pleasure of his will. The reason behind our salvation is that God will glorify his own name, and that he will pour out the great blessing and benefit of salvation to us. And the Lord is pleased with the salvation of his children. In our salvation from sin, God the Father looked down upon his only begotten Son as he was suffering upon Calvary's cross. And we have those words of Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him, Christ, to grief. The Lord was pleased to bear his wrath upon his only begotten Son in order that you and I could receive such an abundant redemption, such an abundant salvation. Oh, think about it tonight, believer. When tomorrow comes, and when the problems of tomorrow are pounding on your door, think that God is pleased that you belong to him. You are his child. You have been redeemed from sin. And this eternal, everlasting message has been part of the everlasting plan and decree of God to save us in time, but for eternity. And that is our God. And that is the pleasure that he takes in his people. And that's why the psalmist could say these words so clearly and so definitely. Ah, for the Lord Jehovah taketh pleasure in his people. But you know what else the Lord is pleased about within his people? He is pleased in our similarity to Christ. He is pleased in our similarity to Christ. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. My dear friends, the Lord has called us and he has saved us in order that he might conform us. And our God and Father is pleased with his people as we take on more and more of the image of his only begotten Son. That is the very purpose of our redemption, that he will be working by his Spirit in us. When we were converted, we were given justification in a moment. But we have a lifelong process of sanctification, and the Lord is doing that work in us, and the Spirit is at work, and he is molding, he is grinding, he is cutting off things that are not going to be for his glory. And all the while, conforming us to the image of his Son. But do you know something? The Lord already sees the finished product. Oh, we can't see it, but the Lord sees it. On the underside of the great tapestry of heaven, we see threads hanging down, and it's hard to get the right image and see what the picture is. But in glory, God is looking at the top side of that beautiful tapestry, and it is a mosaic. It's a picture completed. And he sees it all. And he sees our perfection in Christ. And he sees how that you and I are made completed, and as we read in Romans 8, already glorified. Ah, my dear brother and sister, tonight, let that thought encourage your heart. Let it challenge you to keep going. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. The apostle is teaching here in this portion about the excellency of the transformation that is taking place in the child of God. He says in verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so we are looking into that perfect law of liberty. We're looking into the mirror, and sometimes what we see is unclear. But we're seeing and we're being transformed. The more that we look upon Christ, the more that transforming work is being done in us. And this brings pleasure to God. He is pleased, my dear friends, as he sees the steps and the stages of that transformation taking place, because God knows the end product. He knows that we are already glorified with him forever, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has foreknown us and predestinated us for that purpose. And that conforming to the image of his Son, it is happening, and he is working in us. But don't fret, my dear brother and sister, when you fail to see that happening as rapidly as you desire in your life. For every believer is the same. No one is content with where they are at this point in time in their own Christian walk. We often think that if someone was at that point of total contentment with who they are, there might be a problem. There would be a problem. And so We don't always focus on the negative things of within our own hearts. We can rejoice in what the Lord has done in us and is doing in us. And I don't mean that we should be depressed or cast down on these things, but the reality is we know our weaknesses. And we have been able to see the evidence of God's Spirit working in us. He is developing us. And those changes, they bring to us happiness and contentment and with thanksgiving because we know the Lord is busy at work. He is making us more like Christ. And John said in his epistle that when we see the Lord, then we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. How else is the Lord having pleasure in His people? In the third place tonight, He takes pleasure in our sacrifices of prayer and of praise. Our sacrifices of prayer and of praise. Please turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. We have that great verse about prayer, the third one of that chapter, where the Lord invites His people to call upon Him. He will answer and show us great and mighty things which we have not known up to this point. In verse 11, it says, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord." The sacrifice of praise into the house of God. He's talking here about the people coming to the temple. And what are they doing when they come to the temple? They're coming to worship God. They're coming to make their sacrifices. They're coming to give free will offerings. They're coming to give offerings of, well, according to the Levitical pattern, the burnt offering, the sin offering. They're coming to do all of those things because, well, they have to do it in order to be saved. No, these are the sacrifices of thanksgiving, the sacrifices whereby the heart is overflowing with praise to God. And here, Jeremiah notes that it's the sacrifice of praise being brought into the Lord's house. They are lifting their voices in thanksgiving and worship. And this very thing, my friends, is picked up in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, it says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." And so Jeremiah is speaking about the Old Testament church bringing those praises to the Lord with their hearts and their songs and their rejoicing. We read in Psalm 149 about those with the harp and the timbrel coming to magnify the Lord into His presence. And Paul picks up in Hebrews this very theme of the New Testament church coming to give worship to God and to offer the sacrifice of praise to God, not temporally, not periodically, but continually. And you see, brothers and sisters, when we are praising God from our hearts in a continual time, then we have a continual feast before the Lord. And the devil will have a great difficulty getting into our lives if we are in a state and spirit of continual praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Do we think about that? Are we offering to God the sacrifice of our praise continually? Not just now and then. Certainly not just in the Lord's house, but throughout the course of our day. In the night seasons, when your head is upon your pillow and all is dark, and yet from your heart there is a volley of praise to God, and you're worshiping Him. Ah, the Lord is pleased with that, friend. As I've often said to you before, you're having trouble sleeping? Well then, pray the Lord will keep you awake. Pray the Lord will keep you awake that you might praise Him and pray unto Him until it pleases God to gently close your eyes in sleep. Offering the sacrifice of God continually. How is it that the Lord could be pleased with that? Ah, we are so weak in our praise, so weak in our worship to Him, but here we have it. The Lord is pleased with His people, and we are the people of the King. We are the people of the book. We are the ones whom the Lord will only receive praise from. He will not receive praise from the ungodly. He will not receive praise from the half-hearted. He receives praise and worship from His redeemed people. And the Lord is happy with our sacrifice of our praise. But there's another element, and that is of prayer. The Lord wants us to commune with Him. He wants us to offer our prayers. But some might think, and we've crossed this question before, if we believe in a sovereign God, if we believe in a Lord who is knowing the end from the beginning, what is the point of a believer praying? Well, friend, right off the bat, that's the wrong question to ask, quite frankly, because when God commands us in His Word to pray, it's far better for us to ask, Lord, enable me to understand the value of my prayers. Because if the Lord wants us to pray, He wants to make use of us through our praying in order to exalt His name and to see the hand of the Lord made real through our praying lives. The Lord intends for that. If we fail to offer the sacrifice of our praise and our prayer to the Lord, then we're missing out. We're missing out on great blessings. Why did Jesus say men ought always to pray? He didn't say men ought sometimes to pray, but He wants us to walk in communion with Him continually, all the time. Ah, we need to work on that. I need to work on that. I think that everyone would have to say, yeah, I need to work on that. Well, then let's work on it by the Spirit of God and by His power. Let us make that a point of intercession and prayer, saying that the Lord would make us men and women of prayer. That the communication of our heart to the living God would be such that He sees that we are real, we are serious, we are genuine in our hearts before the Lord. Our communion with Him. How else is the Lord pleased with His people? In the fourth place tonight, the Lord is pleased in our service for Him. Now, too often, We feel the words of the hymn. In this way, our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain. Ah, but the rest of it is good, until we are blessed with the Spirit from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. And so that's our prayer, that's our heart. We desire that we would not be barren and fruitless, but we want to be fruitful. We want to be the vine of John 15, where the Lord says the fruit or the vine brings forth much fruit, abundant fruit. Well, we would do well to pray, Lord, make us 100-fold fruit bearers for your kingdom. Because as we bear fruit for our God, as we are serving Him, the Lord takes pleasure even in our feeble work. Now, quite frankly, friend, tonight you might think, I can't do anything for the Lord, or very little. You can pray, and that service of prayer is perhaps so much greater than you will even consider. The Lord says in the Gospels that if we give a cup of cold water to a weary soul in Jesus' name, we will not lose our reward. You cannot get something much simpler than a cup of water. And if the Lord is monitoring that, if He is taking that into consideration, then our service for God is of much greater importance than you and I are weighing up. The proverb says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken, a word to encourage, a word to challenge, a word perhaps of careful and gentle rebuke. But the Lord is telling us that when we speak a word that is fit from God, ultimately, it is something like apples of gold and pictures of silver. What a way that the Lord is describing this to it. A life devoted to promoting the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what it means, you know, to speak a word for God, to speak a word about Jesus, to speak a word in service for Him. If we have been saved to serve God, then let us serve with all of our hearts. Not to gain salvation, but to show that we are justified by sovereign grace and are the children of the Most High God. I got a call there a couple days, just on, well, Saturday, I guess it was, yesterday, from a dear lady, an elderly soul, 89 years old, from the Vancouver area. Brother Gallagher is in charge of the radio ministry. He actually takes some of the messages here and kind of works them, fits them down into the time slot for the service, and they're broadcast in the Vancouver area and some other places, I think. But this dear lady phoned, and she said, I'm just troubled, she says. I came to the Lord many years ago, but I just don't feel I'm being any use to the Lord. I don't feel I'm being productive at all. I pray that He will help me to lead souls to Jesus, but I've never led a soul to Christ, she said. And she was greatly troubled by that. And I said to her, after she spoke for a little bit, I said to her, well, you know, you're not alone in that feeling. She says, really? I'm not alone? She was genuine in what she was feeling. She felt the pressure of that. I don't think she's alone here. Because I believe that many people feel the weight and the pressure of that feeling that I haven't served the Lord. I haven't done anything for God. Maybe you also would have to say, I've never led a soul to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I pray that prayer for this pulpit. I pray that my ministry would bear fruit in seeing souls saved. But you know, as the word goes out from week to week, and there aren't the evidences of people coming to the Lord here within the church per se, and I don't know what the Lord's doing with the word that goes out over the internet, but my burden and prayer is that God will make use of my ministry to see souls born again of the Spirit of God. But there's not a great harvest coming in. Sometimes you wonder, is there any harvest coming in? And that's where I encourage you to pray, as I have done so within this fellowship, that the Lord would make use of us, make use of this pulpit. But I shared that with that dear lady and said, let me enter into that very concern with you. And I didn't say it, but I should have said it. I'll pray for you and you pray for me, that we would be useful in God's kingdom in a way that the Lord will be pleased with our labor and our work. Yes, my dear friends, sometimes it can be discouraging. And as I tried to counsel and comfort that dear soul, I said, the Lord takes pleasure in you in ways that you really don't maybe know. And you're looking to see the evidences here in this particular area, but the Lord sees evidences in other areas. And one sows, but another will reap. And the Apostle Paul had to say that, where the Apostle, the Apollos, he preached the word, and Peter came along and ministered the word, and Paul likewise. But he said, it's not of any one person to take the glory and say, ah, the fruit's coming in my ministry, must be something great about me. No, one sows, another prays, another reaps. And that's how God works through His people. Therefore, friends, don't be discouraged. But I also mean to tell you, don't not pray about this. Most definitely ask the Lord to make use of you in all ways, in every area of service. But be assured of this, that the Lord sees your service for Him. He sees the details of it. He sees that small word. He will encourage you, and I pray that you will go on to do more for Him. Yes, my friends, and the Lord is pleased, finally, when we are satisfied with Him. The Lord is pleased when we are satisfied with Him. The Lord is pleased when we find our chief joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we find our satisfaction and our fulfillment in and through Him. And of course, the Father is glorified in heaven when the Son is honored. And that's why the woman who broke that alabaster box and expended so much to pour oil on the head and the feet of Christ, and Judas was grieved because of the money wasted, but God the Father was not grieved. The Lord in heaven was honored and was blessed because His Son was honored. And when we find that Christ is our chief joy and we find our satisfaction in Him and our happiness and our peace and our joy centers in our Savior, both now on earth and looking forward to glory, then our God is glorified in that, and He finds pleasure in us. I ask you tonight, friend, are you satisfied in Jesus? Is He your greatest joy? This world is full of wells of water, broken cisterns, as they are called in the song, in the prophet. Broken cisterns that cannot supply what is needed. Ah, but in Christ there is fullness of supply. In Him there is fullness of satisfaction. And when we delight in Him with our heart, when we find our satisfaction in the Savior, then God the Father is pleased with His people. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray that tonight You would take the meager offerings of our service. You would take, Lord, the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, that they would be acceptable. And dear Father, I pray that we will be motivated by the Spirit to live each day in the joy and presence and blessing of the Savior, knowing that Christ is our peace. He is our all in all. Lord, make use of us, we pray, for whatever time, whatever days we have left, months or years, we do not know. For our life is very fragile, Lord, and can be taken in a moment. However, we know, Father, we know that we will not go one moment before our time, not one second before the appointment that has been set in eternity, and therefore we can be restful in that and content. And we'll go forward in our work and service. Empower us daily with the Spirit. And let us not have confidence in the flesh, but help us to stand in the standing of our justification and to stand in the fullness of our redemption. Lord, hear our prayer. Now part us, Lord, from this house, from this place. Take us to our homes in safety. Make us a blessing there. Grant to us household salvation. And dear Father, use and bless our homes. Bless our marriages. Keep the devil away from sowing seeds of discontentment or disunity in any way. And Lord, make use of our families. Make us mighty for God, I pray. For we are told the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Lord, we hold this word back to You again tonight, and we pray over its promise. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.